Okay, Erev Rosh Hashanah, pretty much. Rosh Hashanah of Tavshin Thamach Heth. Our job today is to work with an idea originally put forth by Rav Alexander Sender Margolius, which is known as also Rav Sender Misatanov. And this is a great-great-great-grandfather of my husband on his father's side. And he helps us understand the essential avoda of Rosh Hashanah. Because we know that we stand in shul and we're judged. And that happens to us. But what do we do? So we know, for example, on Pesach we eat matzah. That's a mitzvah of the day. We know, for example, on Sukkot you shake a lulav and esrog. It's a mitzvah of the day. What do you do on Rosh Hashanah? Eat the apple and the honey. Now, the question is that is the shofar the mitzvah of the day? Excellent suggestion. So, technical point. There are two sources for the special laws of the Yom Tovim, and we read from these sources on the Yom Tovim. There is the discussion of the Moadim in Pinchas, which we're not going to turn to right now, and there is the discussion of the Moadim in Emor. This is a very important distinction. When we add to, for example, the Musaf, Shmona Esrei, we add a discussion of the special karbanos that are included on that special day, because every yontif has musaf, additional karbanos beyond the daily offerings of the two talmids. That reading of the karbanos of the day comes from Pinchas. When you look in Parshas Emor, you get the mitzvahs of the day, like lulav and esrog and eating matzah. The question is, where is shofar located? That's how we'll know what is shofar. So this is a whole interesting study in and of itself, and you can go to Parshas Emor and go to Parshas Pinchas and compare and contrast. But in Parshas Emor, the day is called Zichron Trua, a day where you remember the Trua. In Parshas Pinchas, the day is called Yom Teruah, the day of Trua. Turns out that Chazal learned different halachas from both of those terms. It is from Pinchas, where we call the day a Yom Teruah, that Chazal learn out that you blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Now that's very interesting, because Pinchas is not about the mitzvahs of the day. Pinchas is about the karbanos of the day. And if they learn out Hilchas Shofar from Pinchas, that means they're viewing shofar as similar to a karbon. Now, a karbon is an act of sacrifice. It's a form of prayer and request. It's a bakasha. We translate that karbon into tefillah today, specifically requesting. So if the shofar is learned out from Parshas Pinchas, lumped together with the karbanos, we realize that Chazal see the shofar not at all as mitzvah hayom, but as part of the karbanos hayom. And it's a prayer, it's a request. And we'll talk about next week, when we do the davening, what type of request the shofar is. So what do they learn from the term Zichron Trua, which is found in Emor with the other mitzvahs of the other holidays? They learn you have to include in your tefillah, you have to mention three separate ideas, which we know as Malchus, kingship of Hashem, Zichronos, Hashem is remembering everything, and Shofros. That is the mitzvah sayom. Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. So the mitzvah of the day is not Shofros. The mitzvah of the day is to say Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, to say them, and we do blow Shofar during them, during the recitation of that by Ashkenazim in Chazaras Hashatz and by Sfardim in the actual Musaf. And so Shofar is not what we do in Shul. So we say Malchus, I mean, that's not our avoda in a sense. At that, in terms of what is the mitzvah? Our mitzvah is malchus, shofars, and zechonos. But what are certainly we're supposed to have something in mind. We have a job to do. One is to pray. We'll learn about what type of prayer that is in with shofar. No question about it. To pray is the essence of the day. But specifically to have what in mind? We are being judged. So what do we have in mind? What can we accomplish? How can we change things on this Yom HaDin with our thoughts? In the end, if you really analyze it carefully, Rosh Hashanah is a day all about a person's thoughts. What a person is thinking when they hear the shofar, when they're praying, when Hashem is judging them, what are our thoughts? The concept of thought is critical to Rosh Hashanah. In the end, the only way a person connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through their thoughts. When two people do an action, two people sit down and eat something. Okay, one person mumbles the bracha with absolutely zero kavana, doesn't even know if they mentioned it or not, or doesn't even make a bracha. The other person makes a bracha with kavana. So one person's actions are linked to God, and one person's actions are delinked completely. In the end, the only way we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through our thoughts. The actions themselves are not necessarily connected. It's the thought we put behind the action. In the end, all a person really is their thoughts. Imagine this. Imagine a person lives a full life. A really full life with every aspect of life fulfilled. Imagine they're healthy, they live a long life, they get married to the best spouse on earth and are perfectly fulfilled and have excellent children and travel and see and hear and taste different things and experience and contribute to the world and cure some huge disease. A full life, okay? And then at a ripe old age, that person is struck with total amnesia. They don't even know their name. They don't have any awareness of anything they ever did. So for themselves, did they ever exist? For themselves, they have no knowledge. In the end, all we are is our memory and the story we can tell of of how we lived. In the end, all we are is our ability to think. Now, what we really are asking for, and we'll get into this more later, is for us to Hashem should be aware of us, because that's our whole existence. And that's in our hands, for Hashem to be aware of us, to have a story to tell of who we are, be able to remember, in a sense, the life we lived. And we'll speak about that more, the concept of zichronos, but machshava is everything. In fact, the day is called Hayom Haras Olam. Today, the world was not born. That would be the Leda. Today, the world was conceived. Chazal say, conceived in the head, right? Hashem thought of it. So Chazal say there's a big machlokus. When was the world created? Tishrei or Nisan? You know, we count from both. Well, the simple answer is we count from Tishrei for Briyas HaOlam. And we count from Nisan for the birth of the Jewish nation. That's why we really start our holidays from Nisan. But deeper, Chazal say the world was created in Machshava on Tishrei, in Tishrei, and in Masa indeed later on in Nisan. So even this whole concept of Rosh Hashanah is the day the world was conceived of. The day it was created in Machshava. And there's no question that Hashem is looking at our Machshava on Rosh Hashanah. All we have is our Kavanas on Rosh Hashanah. There's no, and our tefillah, what we're thinking, and Chazal tell us what to think by giving us those three sections of davening. Now, therefore, machshava plays a huge role on Rosh Hashanah. What's going on in our heads is really our avoda on Rosh Hashanah, when we hear the shofar, when we daven, what's in our heads. Now, the fact that Rosh Hashanah is about machshava, and there's another aspect actually that proves Rosh Hashanah is about machshava. We need zechuyot on Rosh Hashanah. So it says, one of the main sources of our merits is that Afro Shel Yitzchak, Tzobor Al HaAkedah. Yitzchak's ashes are piled up on the Akedah, and Hashem sees them, and deals with us with Rachamim, and gives us the zechus of that act. There's only one problem. In the world of Maaseh, of actual deed, there are no ashes. He wasn't slaughtered and he wasn't burned. But that's irrelevant, because the world of deed comes and goes, the world of Maaseh. The physical material world. In the world of Machshava, he, of course, he was slaughtered. And that's a real world because he intended to be. And his kavana was 100%. And that exists. It exists in a more real and more eternal way than our physical actions here, which come and go and are forgotten. So there's no question that machshava is paramount on this day. What were we thinking and what are we thinking? That lasts for us. That gives us life. That is us. In the end, just like we recognize each other here by our physical features, so we know that in the Olam HaEmes, we will easily recognize each other by our ruchnius features, which are our thoughts, who we were as a human being, the kavana behind the deeds that we did, every act of chesed, every act of mesiras nefesh, every good intention, every pure thought. That's us. And that becomes the features and the clothing, so to speak, of the neshama. And so machshava is who we are in the end. When our physical bodies pass from this world, we exist completely, fully, much more fully than we lived here. All, and what we are is what went on in our heads. So machshava is huge. So the source of this, okay, is found in an early Rashi. And what we're trying to do today is distinguish, understand a little bit about the power of machshava, and distinguish it from dibor, speech, and action, and how Hashem relates to each aspect of our personality and our achievements, and how Hashem looks at our machshava, our dibor, and our maaseh, our thought, our speech, and our action on this day, and our job in terms of our thought, our speech, and our action on this day. But focusing really primarily on the power of the thought process and Hashem's rachmanis, which is applied to us on Rosh Hashanah, that's associated with this concept. So the very idea of machshava begins right away. If you turn to Bereishis, page 2, it says, Bereishis bara Elokim. Elokim, in the process of creation, right, made heaven and earth. So if you look in Rashi, it's on the second column. It's 5 lines down. It says, bara Elokim. Here's the Rashi. We'll do the simple reading and then Rav Sender Misasanov's deeper reading. The normal way this is read without, face value, it says, V'lo nemar bara Hashem. It says, bara Elokim, focusing on Elokim, Midas Adin, and not Hashem, which is Midas HaRachamim, wants to point out something. Because later in Perek Beis, we get a blend of Hashem Elokim, and then in Perek Gimel, we get pure Hashem. So Din and Rachamim, pure Rachamim. Okay? So he says right away, but the Torah wants to point out that in the beginning there was no rachamim. What was going on? There was no mercy. It was all din. Why? What's behind that? Now, and don't think about Perek Aleph and Beis as chronologically one following the other. They're concurrent descriptions of the Bria. One with the name Elokim, which is Midas Hadin, represents man's possible perfection, the way man is described. We've spoken about this. God's expectations for man when he's on the highest level. Perek Beis represents man in the real state of affairs during the process of getting to the levels that are described in Perek Aleph. Remember we did all this, comparing Perek Aleph, Tzelem Elokim, Tov Ma'od, no Isurim, no prohibitions, he can eat from anything. A miniature God, basically. Perek Beis, Afar Min Hadama, dirt of the earth, Nefesh Chaya, prohibited, can't be trusted. That's man's process and man's goal. So it points out here that first it starts with Elokim and doesn't say Hashem, because Shebatchila, in the beginning, is a famous Rashi. Allah b'machshava libraso b'mides hadin. So the simple reading is, in the beginning, it arose in God's machshava to create the world with mides hadin. V'rosh eina olam eskayim, but he saw the world couldn't survive. Hikdim midas harachamim, he preempted, he introduced midas harachamim and actually made it primary, and it attached it to midas hadin, and that's why it says in the end of Perek Beis, Bayom, now let's compare 3 different points here. It says Bayom, describing this day, Asos, Hashem Elokim, Eretz v'shamayim, as opposed to Bara, Elokim, Shamayim v'aretz. So a whole different focus. Here it's Bria, which is a higher level, Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. Elokim Midas Adin, a higher level, more demanding level. And Shemayim, or it's Shemayim first. In the summation, it's the day Asos, lower, made, Hashem, with Rachmanis, made Eretz v'Shemayim, putting the Eretz first. So we'll get back to that. But the simple reading is Hashem intended, it arose in his machshava to create the world with din, but he saw it couldn't last, so he added rachamim. Everybody knows the problem with that. I mean, Hashem went through a trial and error process. First he thought about it, and he went back and forth, decided it didn't work, and then concluded to do it the other way. And then he did it the other way, then he made it. Now, it's totally distinguished the way we operate from the way Hashem operates. Yeah, we go through a thought process. First we think. Say, what's the best way to attack this problem? Well, how should I behave right now? What's the best way to get what I need done? Okay? So simple explanation. What kind of house should I build? Should I build a ranch? Should I build a colonial? What are the upside of this one? What's the downside of that one? Back and forth. We think. Then we conclude. Then we say, okay, I'm going to build a colonial. Then we gather the materials and then we build it. So we have thought, speech, and action. Okay? But to say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu weighs the pros and cons and doesn't quite know and then thinks it all through and then he decides and then he says, okay, this is what I'm doing, and then he does it is a joke, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't go through trial and error process, nor does Hashem, nor is there really a distinction in Hashem's thought, speech, or action. When we say Hashem thought something, or we say Vayomer Hashem said something, and we say Vayas Hashem did something, all of them are the same. It means an expression of Hashem's will, but they mean something different, which we're going to get into. Why does the Torah use different words? But Hashem saying, let there be light, Hashem has no mouth, it means he willed there to be light. Hashem intending there to be a world means he willed there to be a world. Hashem making the world means he willed there to be a world. He didn't make it with hands. In the end, thought, speech, and action means Hashem's will materialized. So what do we mean when we say Hashem thought it, Hashem spoke it, and then Hashem did it? It's not like us. It doesn't go in stages. It's not a process that takes time. It's all instantaneous. So that's our job, to uncover what other way there is to read this Rashi. Okay? Allah b'machshava. So first of all, let's talk about the concept of Midas Hadin. Why is machshava synonymous with Midas Hadin? Allah b'machshava libroso b'midas hadin. He intended the machshava, the machshava was to create it with din, but the maaseh was to create it with rachamim. What's the link between machshava and din? Asiya, action, and rachamim. That's first point. Machshava and din. So first let's describe what din is, and then we'll associate it with machshava. Din, justice, we think about if you don't do the right thing, Hashem punishes you. But let's get much more basic. That's just an expression of din. Really what din is, what law is math, is can be described as mathematics. Truth, absolute truth. Din and MS are always synonymous. Din is pure MS. Mathematics is MS and it's din. For example, we've done this a number of times here. If I say to you, what's the biggest lie? 2 + 2 = 1,000, or 2 + 2 = 4.00001. They're both equally untrue and wrong. If you submit either answer on a test, it's wrong. 2 + 2 = 4, okay? It's din. It's an absolute law. There is no flexibility. It doesn't matter if you're white or black, male or female, disabled or not. It doesn't make a difference. It's always going to be 4. There is no flexibility. There is no range depending on your personal situation. It just is. It just is right or wrong. It's MS or Sheker. And there's no room for any concern with the person's particular, problems or situation. Look, gravity is gravity. You drop an underprivileged person or a very privileged person off the top of the Empire State Building, they're going to fall at the same rate. And the same goes for a tzaddik and a rasha. Barring a nes nigla, an open miracle, right? But we live in a world of teva, where nature is law, and it's emes, it's din, and it's emes, and there's no discussion, period. Now, why is machshava associated with din? And also din means, pure din means, in a world of pure din, a person transgresses, does something to undermine Hashem's will, they're instantly neutralized, they vanish, they don't exist anymore, right? because Hashem's will is everything, really, and the fact that there's room for us to disobey Him is a whole bizarre phenomenon that Chazal have spent like forever trying to figure out. But somehow we are allowed to disobey Hashem. But if in a world of din, we'd be neutralized in a split second. In a world where Hashem's machshava, Hashem's will, Hashem's desire covered everything, and there was no room for human freedom, a person would be instantly gone. So what is the association between machshava and din? That's step number one. Why is Allah b'machshava l'vroso b'midas ha-din? So first of all, Rav Sender Misatanov is reading it, not Allah b'machshava. This is not a process. First, he intended to create it with din. He's reading it b'machshava l'vroso b'din, with machshava to create it, which is din. What does it mean to create a world with machshava, that is din? Well, we know that Hashem, we said, His will that something should be is that it should be. You can't override Hashem's will. If the fact is, Hashem willed there to be bechira, free choice. But Hashem's will is why things are. It is the reason they exist. It is the source of their existence. And in a sense, what we're saying is that we exist here, and we feel ourselves physically alive, and we feel our individuality, and we feel like we exist. But if you really think about it in a mystical kind of way, we exist here in a sense because Hashem intends us to exist. That's why all matter exists. Hashem has a machshava that we should exist. Hashem wills our existence. So what we're really saying is, if in one split second Hashem would stop willing there to be a whole world and the matter in this world organized the way it is, especially into human beings, we would all vanish in a second. We're just like a figment of Hashem's imagination, so to speak. A figment, we're an expression of Hashem's machshava. Originally, in the highest, highest level, I won't say originally, what the Torah is describing here, Rashi is trying to tell us is, according to Rav Sender Misatanov, on the highest level of all the levels that some human beings touch on through a life of perfection, there is a bria that's associated, an aspect, a level of the creation, a level to reach, that's associated strictly with machshava, with Hashem's thought. On that level, Hashem wills it, and it is. And what is? People are, and the whole world around them. And people who are Tzelem Elokim are created with that power. In their own machshava, they will something, and it is. For example, Tzadik goes there, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Tzadik does need something, he says something, he hopes for, he is mispalel for something, wants something, and it comes to be. The machshava of the person mimics, in a sense, the machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the highest form of creation, the highest possible level, where Hashem creates a world of machshava, out of machshava, and machshava in the human being is as operative, as creative as Hashem's machshava, just like Hashem willed it and it was. So person on that madrega wills something and it is. That means that the machshava of a person in the theoretically the highest level is like a maaseh, it's like a deed. And that would of course be midas hadin, because if a person would will something keneged Hashem's will, could that stand? No, that couldn't stand. If Hashem created the world through machshava, and machshava came into reality just by thinking something, it was. So a person would think something, and it would be too. Say, I want to destroy the Jews, and they would be destroyed. That can't be. If there's the slightest deviation from the will of Hashem, would bring upon the person an instant midas hadin, because they have the power to destroy what Hashem is creating, machshava against machshava. So in a sense, allowing people's machshava to have that kind of power would basically ensure the destruction of the world pretty much instantly. Because a person would will something to be, and it would be, and if it's keneged Hashem, then Hashem would not allow it. So the question is, why does Hashem allow actions? We'll talk about that. But certainly machshava. Now, the truth is that the greater a person is, the greater and more pure a person is, their machshava has more power. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew at the moment of the Bria that that highest madrega is not in a madrega that the Bria, the way Hashem intends to create it, will be able to exist on, and they'll all be destroyed in a moment because they have an animal side, a nefesh chaya side. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create the world purely out of machshava. Now the Torah says Hashem took a step down, so to speak. What does that mean? It says, Vayomer Hashem Elokim Yehi'ar. Hashem said, let there be light. And then further on, you get to the next level, which is Vayas Elokim Esharakia. So Hashem said light, Vayihi'ar, and that's already on a more mystical, the light is more spiritual. But then the next level, the Rakia, which is actually part of the physical world, that's Vayas, and Hashem made it. What is that progression? It's not a trial and error process, as we said, and a stage process like we go through. Hashem created the world with the koach of Amira and with the koach of Asiya. Two different levels of speech and action. Hashem created the world with the koach of Bayomer, speech, and then even on a lower level, the koach of deed, of action. What do we mean by that? We mean that however Hashem creates our world is how we function, the powers we have. The powers Hashem put into this world to bring us here are the powers we have. So let's start with the lowest power. Vayas Elokim es harakia. Hashem made the rakia. The power of asiya. What Hashem did is he reduced, it's an act of rachmanis, Hashem reduced, in a sense, the creation of the world to one of described as action, and thereby reduced people's ability and people's responsibility also in a world, to a world of action. Which means right now, for Hamonam, for the regular people, a person can think all they want that an enemy of ours, that they want to destroy the Jewish people. They can think it all out. They can concoct the most sophisticated plans. They can even get up and make speeches about what they're going to do. But in the end, the only thing that gets accomplished is what they can do in action. What they can do in action is the only thing that actually really happens. People are reduced to affecting the world through their actions. A person can say, I'm going to kill them. But they don't kill them. And they can't kill them, let's say. So are they guilty of killing them? Not in Hashem's judgment. In other words, a person can have terrible thoughts, can express terrible things, and we'll speak more about Dibur because it has power too. But in the end, what they do, their masim, are the only things that have an effect in this world. Okay, in a real sense. Why is that? That is because Hashem did not allow the masses of humanity that their machshava should have power. He didn't even really let their words have too much power. He reduced the power of man to change the world and act upon the world to action, to maaseh. This is a huge act of rachmanis and the way the world survives. Because today, for example, the regular people are not judged on their machshava on a regular basis. And they're not even held guilty for a lot of their words that don't come to action. There are words we are guilty for, and we'll speak about them. But many, many statements we make, we're not held guilty if they're not expressed in real life in terms of behavior. So what happens is a human being is judged primarily on their masim, on their deeds. Number one, that's a great act of rachmanis, because if we'd be judged on everything we said and everything we thought, we wouldn't survive. So we're judged on, in the end, what we do. It's also how the world survives. That human beings can't undermine the world of Hashem, because Hashem created it, Hashem intended this world to exist, and that's machshava. And we're functioning with maaseh, with deeds, and deeds cannot undo intention. Intention is much stronger. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire that things should be the way they are, and man's deeds that he works down here in his limited way has no power to undermine Hashem's machshava. So it's an act of rachmanis that Hashem reduced the world to all the way down to maaseh. However, dibur, vayomer Hashem yihiyar, has its own role. There are words that, although they might not translate into action, are very destructive in and of themselves or very productive. Look, a person has to say vidui, and that's very important to cleanse their neshama when they say words of vidui. Or a person has to not speak lashon hara or not lie. Okay, so those words are destructive words, very destructive. Okay. On the other hand, if a person says something negative about another being, another person, halachas of lashon hara, and they come to no financial or harm, or no, their reputation is not harmed, there's no damage, it's not the same issur of lashon hara. When a person is damaged through financially, reputation, or something else, if there's absolutely no damage, it's not the same level. So even our words translate into action. Lo sachmo, don't desire things that aren't yours. If you act on it, you're guilty. Okay. Lo sisav, actually, in the second luchos, is already more governing the thought. It's a separate halacha to cleanse the thought. Now, thoughts are very important. They ultimately define us. They ultimately are what we say and what we do. But we're not judged on our thoughts. That's an act of rachmanas. Thoughts are also the hardest aspect of our person, our persona to control. People all of a sudden feel a certain way, can't stop thinking a certain way. Thoughts come to us from nowhere. We don't know what motivated them. And thoughts, therefore, are the most elusive. And yet, how we think and what we allow ourselves to think eventually, for most people, expresses itself in their speech. Although we can hide a tremendous amount, and our thoughts are invisible. On occasion, our words betray our thoughts, but it's not necessarily the case. Some people are very discreet. Our thoughts can be in one place, our words can be in one place, and our actions can be completely somewhere else. There could be a huge disconnect between our thought, our speech, and our action. The person can go through all kinds of proper behavior, and it's just a farce. They're fooling everybody, and they can speak properly, and their thoughts are their intentions are totally different. So there's a huge disconnect between thought, speech, and action, which doesn't exist in Hashem's world. But nevertheless, we're judged on our deeds. Now, there's a great rachmanis here, great act of kindness. We are taught lahalacha. If a person intends in their mind to do an avera, and they don't do it, Hashem doesn't count it as an avera, and is not mitzvah if he doesn't join up that intention to an avera. However, if a person intends to do a mitzvah, has a thought to do a mitzvah, thinks about how they're going to do the mitzvah, and they don't get a chance to do it, Hashem counts it as a mitzvah, machshava k'maaseh. So our thoughts, for the positive, count for us, but for the negative, don't count against us. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees our thoughts and gives us a tiny experience of that our thoughts are creative, they're real. Hashem gives us a mitzvah for our thoughts. Not the mitzvah that we would have done. In other words, if a person says, I'm going to eat matzah on Pesach. I going to plan how to get the matzah, and for some reason can't, they don't make the bracha al achilas matzah, and they don't get a mitzvah of eating matzah, but they get a mitzvah of wanting to do the mitzvah. That's a mitzvah of itself, in and of itself. And so we see that the proper machshava exists. It's real. It creates something for us, but one machshava is ignored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here, the implications of this go further. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have created a world of machshava, then people's machshava would have been translated into reality, and that Hashem would have never allowed our machshava to destroy his machshava, and there would have been an instant midas hadin. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu reduced the world and created it through asiyah, vayas Elokim, therefore, Therefore, there's number one, it's Hashem, it's Asiya, it's taking into account Eretz Vishamayim, the earth and the realities of this world. And we can think things all we want and say things all we want, and we don't, Hashem doesn't have to treat it with Midas Adin because it has no results anyway until it's translated into action. And action Hashem interferes with, and he could stop things where he wants to stop them. And this is what really we say in Tefillah on Shabbos and Yontiv. It's in the Ra'anenu Tzadikim, and it's also in Yehi Chavod. You look at Yehi Chavod, these words are familiar with, you're familiar with these. Here's what we're saying. Hashem hefir atzas goyim heini machshavos amim. Hashem annuls the etza, the ideas of the goyim, and he stymies the machshava of the nations, right? Rabos machshavos belevish. A person has many, many thoughts. They want to do a lot of things, but ba'atas Hashem hitakum, but it's going to be the eitz of Hashem that prevails. Why? What are the next words? There's the words of form. Sorry. Atas Hashem la'olam tamod machshavos libo l'dor v'dor. Why will Hashem's eitzah and Hashem's machshava be the one that in the end prevails? Ki hu amar vayehi. Because he spoke and it came to be. Hu tziva vayamod. Because Hashem reduced the world. Not, he didn't create it out of machshava for everybody. The bria for, on the level we relate to it is done through amira. Ki hu amar vayehi. Because he said something and it came to being. That's why his machshava will prevail. How else do you read it? Hashem's machshava will prevail because he spoke, and that's how the world came into being. And Ra'anenu Tzadikim has a similar version of it, it says, "Yiru mehashem kol haaretz." Everyone is afraid of Hashem. Imenu yagoru kol yoshvei tevel ki hu amar vayehi hu tziva vayamod. Hashem hefir atas goyim heini machshavos amim atas Hashem la'olam tamod machshavos libo l'dor v'dor. Same idea. So Rav Sender Misatnov says that's why Hashem's machshava will prevail, because he reduced the world. It's created through Amira and ultimately through Asiya, which means that for us those are how we function within those frameworks. So now that we know this, now that we know that on a regular basis we don't have power to our machshava, and we're not punished on our machshava, and our machshava isn't really that operative and doesn't really have any power to destroy the world of Hashem, so does that mean that our machshava is irrelevant? Well, we said first of all that the machshava in the end becomes the person. Person can't live a total life of contradiction, thinking one thought, living hypocritically, fooling everybody. I mean, most people can't maintain that. In the end, the machshava becomes the person, so it's critical for us to clean up our machshava. But what happens on Rosh Hashanah? This is the day of the Bria of the world, b'machshav. In other words, this is the day that Hashem assesses once a year how people are doing. If he would look at their machshava, how would we be? This is the day the world was conceived, the highest madriga. If Hashem would judge people's machshava, what would happen? And who would we be in that world? So what happens on Rosh Hashanah is a person is expected to look into themselves, into their own heads, and in their kavana, analyze their kavanas, their own thought process. How does one do that? So first of all, Rambam says, famous, Hashem weighs everybody. Hashem judges, right? So the famous idea of the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah in the third perek, if you have more zechuyot, then you have avonot, you're nikra tzadik. If you have more avonot, then you have zechuyot, you're nikra rasha. So that means a person can have 1,000 mitzvahs. It's not quantity, it's quality. And 1,001 averas, chas v'shalom, what are they? They're rasha. And vice versa, of course, Hashem, a person can have 1,000 avonot, sins, and 1,001 mitzvot, they are a tzadik, which means to say that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing on Rosh Hashanah is just asking a simple question. What are you more? Of course a person has many deeds, many masim. But what are you more? And what a person wants to be is what they are more, even if it's just a little more. And then the chesed of Rosh Hashanah is, the negative is batul barov. It's completely nullified in the majority. You know, we have that law in kashrus too sometimes. Batul barov, it's just considered, it blends in, it's negated by the majority, which overwhelms it. Batul barov. Doesn't mean the avera is gone, and aser shemei tshuva and Yom Kippur are for that. But in terms of the person, it's batul barov. Now, how does a person, if they wanted to, get, you know, in their head, which is the avod of Rosh Hashanah, ensure Hashem that I'm more a tzaddik? Well, one of the things a person does is they have to try to, you know, tilt the scales for tzaddik, which means you not necessarily do more mitzvahs, but what we, on that minute of Rosh Hashanah, but what we could do is get rid of some of the averos, because that also takes place in a person's head. It's called tshuva. It takes place in a person's head. It's regret, charata, and it's akira tachet, uprooting the sin. Now, the question, this is supernatural. How does an action that took place in the Olam Hamaseh disappear because in the Olam HaMachshava we've regretted it and we've disconnected from it? So it just disappears in the Olam HaMasa. Well, we've already established that the Olam HaMachshava is a lot more powerful than the Olam HaMasa. We've realized that although we act here, person does something and the action was done and the effects exist, but in Hashem's world where there is no distinction for real between thought and speech and action, in Hashem's world, a good, sincere thought can erase an action. An action is less real than a thought. But how does that work? So the Mesillas Yesharim says, "Tachshov akirat haratzon ka'akirat hamaseh." It is true that removing, uprooting the ratzon, the desire to do the sin that used to exist in our heart and we've ripped it out, we don't have that desire, is like uprooting the deed itself. That the machshava can eliminate, and it's chesed gomor, he calls it, can eliminate the deed. Now, how does that work? Now, here we get a little nuanced. It translates into halachas we work with all the time, like on Shabbos. This is the core of Shabbos halachas. If a person's walking down the street and steps on an ant, are they guilty of chilul Shabbos? No. Why not? Eino mischaven. They had no kavana to do it. A human being that has no kavana to do something and the thing happens is not guilty for it, which means to say the only area where we have power is the areas we have thought. We intend to do something and do it, then we are responsible. But in areas that are beyond our control, eino mischaven, you have no kavana, there's no human choice, it's totally out of our control, it's bidei shamayim anyway, and we're totally not guilty, we're not held responsible, it's not associated with us at all. It's nothing to do with us. It's not connected to us. When a person has a machshava to do an avera, and then they might or might not express their intention, and then they do it, because you can skip the dibor part, but you can then they do it, so that action is the person's responsibility. What if a person can disconnect the action from their kavana? What if the person says, I no longer have any kavana to do that. I have no desire to do that anymore. I don't want that to be part of my personality. A person can uproot the kavana that was attached to the masa. So you know what happens? That masa is no longer associated with the person because it's eino mischaven. They've turned it into an action that they had no intention to do. Their machshava eliminated the one aspect that made it theirs, which is their intention. And when that intention is removed, it's like just any other, it's like a tree falling in a forest. It's bidei shamayim. Person didn't do it. If they truly uproot the kavana to do it, it was just like stepping on an ant by accident they didn't even see when they were walking down the street. Eina mischaven, which were never chayav on eina mischaven. So the machshava has the power, the changing the machshava, changing a person's intention, truly disconnecting completely from the sin, not having any pleasure from it, that's really hard, not revisiting it, not thinking about it, you know, longingly, not remembering how good it felt, whatever it is, just really disconnecting and wanting it to, and having no part of it, uprooting it from our identity, it's not us, that eliminates the masa, because that's called tshuva. That's called Hashem erasing the sin completely. Total erasure of the sin. So that's not the same as the sin being batal barov, like Rambam says, just being negligible because there's more mitzvahs. That's one madriga. But then tshuva makes it as if it never was. The person is pure. It's not there at all. And they're like a newborn baby in that way, without the sin at all. Which is, by the way, Yom Kippur is the day when Klal Yisrael accepted the Luchos, and we're like, that's called, you know, except re-accepting the Torah is associated with the concept of Tinoch Shanolad. You know, Gershon is Gayer, Ketinoch Shanolad. A person who's Megayer accepts the Torah is like brand new. Everything before isn't relevant. So what you have here is the power on Rosh Hashanah to have Machshava. So Machshava on Rosh Hashanah is a good Machshava is always held. You know, is always held on, you know, is always counted for us. That's a rachmanas. That's the act of great chesed. That our machshava, you know, is real and defines us for the good. For the bad, it's ignored and we're judged on deeds. Except in Avodah Zarah, where once a person does the deed, we spoke about this last week, once a person does the deed, they're judged on the machshava also. Hashem is mitztarif, the machshava to the masa, once the deed is done. But if the deed isn't done, off the hook. As far as Hashem goes, is it destructive for the person? Yeah, to have negative thoughts is always destructive for the person in the end. So, but here, let's put it together. So, Machshava, this is a day of Machshava. If Hashem would look at our Machshava, who would we be in our Machshava? Because our Machshava is powerful. If our Machshava could create, who would we be in Machshava? If everything we thought created who we were, in a spiritual sense, who would we be? So, hopefully all the good Machshavas are counted, the bad are ignored. And then a Parambam says, okay, it's a day of who are you? And it's not about every single thing you did. It's about what are you more? So a person in their kavana says, I'm more tzaddik. That's what I want to be. That's counted to me as a zuchus. In addition, if I, and it's one of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, so although you don't do vidoy in Rosh Hashanah, it's still a day of tshuva as part of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Person attempts to disconnect from the times they disobeyed Hashem knowingly for whatever purpose, satisfaction, impatience, disregard, flippancy, whatever it was, tries to disconnect from that, remove their machshava from the deed. The deed, in a sense, becomes eina mischaven. There was no intention to do it. It was more than a shogig. It's like an ones. It happened totally without our knowing. There was no intention here. The intention's been disconnected. Then that deed, Hashem takes it back, so to speak, in His realm. It's a kol bidei shemayim. It's things that happen that are not a person's fault. And the person is absolved from the ramifications of that deed, even. So this is the power of machshava. At the same time, there are people that, during the course of their life, are always striving to perfect their deeds, their dibor, their words, and their machshava. And Hashem is medaktik with the greater people. The greater a person is, Hashem is more meticulous, and He's medaktik kechut hasara, like doesn't give him an inch, not even an inch, not a hair's breadth. And He judges their machshavas too. But a person on that madrega doesn't mind that Hashem is judging them even on their machshava. It's only the people around who complain about tzaddik v'ralo, you know, that a tzaddik is suffering. But the tzaddik doesn't complain. Now, why is that? It's like a person who's got a huge ability to, as a simple example, to succeed, like a future Beethoven. That future Beethoven doesn't want the instructor, the piano teacher, to say, all right, you made a couple of mistakes, big deal, you're not going to be anything anyway, so who cares, you know, move on. If a person has real potential to be perfect, the top, they want their instructor to point out every single slightest mistake so they can be better. Even where their machshava is a little bit off. So Hashem is medaktik and tzaddikim even on their machshava. But Hashem also allows their machshava to create a reality. Tzaddik goes there, tzaddik decrees, and it is. It comes to be. Hashem will fulfill their desire. So here on this day, what the avoda is all in the head, all in the head. Who we are, who we want to be, how we uproot our kavanas from behaviors that we've done, And here is really where we get to, and to wrap it up, the essence of the shofar. We said the shofar is a tefillah, it's like it's part of the karbanos. What's our tefillah on Rosh Hashanah? Our mitzvah is to recognize that Hashem is melech. We'll speak about this next week, that Hashem remembers everything, and that the shofar is our zechus. And our avodah is to cleanse our thoughts on the day of thought. And what is the prayer of the shofar, though? The prayer of the shofar is that we know that in the end, life, chayim, if we are truly alive, is really a function of our life in our head, in the olam ha-machshava. Because after we leave this world, as we said, we're just everything non-material, everything spiritual that we thought, that we intended, that we cared, that we planned. That's who we are. That's life. Life is life in the olam ha-machshava, in the world of machshava, which is the real world, the essence. The Hashem exists, so to speak, in the olam ha-machshava, Hashem's intentions. And the shofar comes from Yitzchak, whose whole zechus, you know, with the aisle and the thorns, is from his intentions. And the shofar is a call, it's a voice. And it's not articulate, it's not like a guitar that you can make speak, or like a piano that can virtually speak. It's not that type of sophisticated instrument. It's very primitive. It's just a call, just a piercing sound. And what it's meant to elicit in the person is that primitive, almost, you know, visceral cry that says nothing but, I exist. I need life. Life is everything. When a person says, when a shofar sounds, who will not tremble? When a person trembles, when a person's body is racked with trembling, they know life and death hang in the balance. When a shofar sounds, what it elicits in us is a certain trembling, which we understand, are we alive or are we not alive? At this moment, it's not about will Hashem give us a couple more years on this world or not. It's are we alive? In other words, is our machshava, are we alive in the world of machshava of who we are? Or are we not alive because all we are is a bunch of actions and they go away and they're not connected to any superior machshava, anything eternal, anything real, anything true? And then we can't really be said to be alive in the olam ha-machshava and to be vibrant and functioning in the olam ha-machshava. Because we do want to get to a point where our machshavas are purified and that translates down. And Hashem can look at our machshavas on Rosh Hashanah and say, you are somebody in the world of machshava. And so we realize that life hangs in the balance, and what we really, the prayer of the shofar is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at me and see and say that I exist. When a person is so in so much danger or so downtrodden that they can't even express all the things they need that would help them, that would save them, all they can do is emit a wail, which means look at me, give me life, give me what I need to exist, that I'm a person, I exist, focus on me, pay it, notice. That's all a person can express. It's the most basic form of expression. What a person's really asking for is just that I should exist. There should be an ani, there should be a life, that I should exist. And we only in the end exist, as we said in the memory example, in the story we can tell. We only exist in the end in our machshava. Although Hashem judges masim, in the end they're gone. In the end the big speeches we made are gone. In the end the only thing that we are left with is our machshava for the good. Because for the bad has no future existence. So what we're left with is the machshava we are for the good. That's our life in the next world. So the avod of Rosh Hashanah is really all in the head. To realize it actually makes things in a sense hard for us, but it makes things easy for us. All a person has to do is affirm in their mind what their intentions are, who they hope they are, who they hope to be, and promise to make that will trickle down into how they speak and how they act, but to cleanse the machshava on the day of machshava. So we can stand in front of Hashem and say, if you judged us, If you judge us based on our mind, we would have life. And Hashem promises, by the way, that when He judges us, Hashem will, and we'll talk about this more next week, Hashem will judge us with all the rahmanis in the world and see us in a favorable light. And the day will be a Yom Tov. Okay.